Born in July of 1921, Elizabeth Spencer is now publishing her 17th volume of fiction. Among her novels, the best known is The Light in the Piazza, set in Rome. 92 years old, Spencer has never stopped writing and is at the top of her form. This collection of 9 stories is vintage Spencer. The reigning expert on Southern small towns and the families in them, she shows all their warm connections and difficult tensions. Spencer certainly does not believe that all families are alike, even all happy families. And family life is not static. From the first story to the last, Spencer depicts the ceremonies, marriage with its consequences and pleasures, divorce likewise. Changes inevitably occur, which necessitate starting over, sometimes enriched or enlightened, sometimes disillusioned. Family, nuclear and more often extended, is sometimes painful but inescapable. In Return Trip, the first story, Edward visits Patricia and Boyd at their summer cabin in the North Carolina mountains. Patricia and Edward are cousins of a sort. Quote, just as there were complicated ways Mississippians took of proving kin, so there were also similar ways of disproving it, end quote. At Patricia and Boyd's wedding party 18 years earlier, Edward had passed out next to a drunk, sleeping Patricia in the room Edward normally used. Nothing happened, but Patricia's son, Mark, looks a lot like Edward. Surely it is the extended family gene pool that is to blame, but no one is absolutely certain. The daughter-in-law-mother-in-law relationship, often a strained one, is conjoined with subtle class distinctions in The Boy in the Tree. After a sharp rebuke, Jenny feels her mother-in-law sees her as, quote, a lower-class woman, common, practically a redneck, end quote. That's unforgivable. The breach is permanent. In Rising Tide, Willard leaves Marjorie, and she is relieved as much as anything. She is shed of Willard with his bigoted, small-town voice and his gang, quote, bankers, insurance men, presidents of this and that, doctors, all that bunch who ran things. Now they were all walking away with Willard. She wasn't sorry. The frustrations of managing stepsons is the subject of Blackie. Emily is expected to care for her father-in-law, Mr. Earl, and her husband, Lawrence's 3 boys. Tough duty. Wilmer Lee, full of lustful thoughts, actually comes on to her. The household moves from stressful to violent when Emily's son Tim moves in. Like primates in the trees, the boys torment and finally beat him and run him off. Now, indeed, they will all have to start over. The closing story, The Wedding Visitor, also concerns a central family event. The narrator, Rob, who works as an aide to a congressman in Memphis, returns to the Mississippi family place and runs into a snarl of feelings and conflict. The bride, Norma, has a little drinking problem and is asserting herself by refusing to wear a beautiful wedding dress her mother made. The groom, not quite socially appropriate, may have embezzled the money for his wedding suit. Weddings often create a sense of erotic and romantic possibility, and Rob is half willing to be seduced by his cousin Emily, but knows, quote, courting cousins wouldn't work, end quote. In conversation with another of his cousins, though, retired old maid schoolteacher Marty, Rob is reminded, family is all we have, like them or not.